Hello everyone, this is Jonathan Little. I'm here with part two of the 15th week of weeklypokerhand.com, where today I'm going to be going over a hand that I played that we're actually going to look at from my opponent's point of view. I think it's always important to look at your opponent's point of view and try to realize what they are doing incorrectly and what you can do to exploit them. Because, you know, if you know a player is bad, it doesn't really matter because you're not going to know how to exploit it. You know, if I show up at a table and one of my friends texts me or something and says, the guy in seat two is bad, you know, that doesn't really tell me anything. Maybe he's bad and then he's really tight, or maybe he's a super maniac. And if, you know, he plays the first hand and he's actually a super nit and he shows up with aces, like obviously straightforward aces, and I assume he's a maniac, I'm going to lose a lot of money. So anytime you categorize someone as not a good player, you always need to try to figure out what they're doing incorrectly and what you can do to exploit them. So we'll talk a little bit about that in this episode. And also, you know, go back to all the other future episodes if you haven't watched them and check those out. We have 14 previous hands, all of which I think are pretty cool. And while we're talking about that kind of thing, if you want me to review one of your hands, please feel free to send it in. I'm more than willing to check it out. If you don't have an actual online hand history of the hand, still email me in the hand, and I'll do my best to make a hand history out of it, and we'll talk about it. So, right here, Q Magic raises to 120. J Card Shark, who is me, makes it 320 in third position. And in this spot, if you have pocket jacks, I actually think you have a pretty easy fold. If you had pocket queens or ace-king, I would be willing to just re-raise and get it in. But with jacks exactly, jacks and ace-queen and tens, you're going to find that you're crushed by J-Card Shark's 3-betting range. If we pull up Poker Stove here, you'll see that if J-Card Shark's 3-betting only good hands, something like this, which, honestly, that is going to be my 3-betting range, and I'm not folding any of it. You'll see the jacks are in pretty bad shape. Let's check out how Ace-King offsuit's doing. Slightly better, you have 40% equity. And then Queens has 47% equity. So maybe even Ace-King offsuit's a little bit too loose. So yeah, I guess probably something like Ace-King suited would be better to go with in this spot. You don't have to have exactly 50% equity. Obviously, it'd be nice. But J-Card Shark will bluff sometimes. Not very often at all, honestly, if he knows my game. But, of course, he doesn't know my game. And I really don't think you should be 3-betting with air very often from early position at all. So if you're sitting at a table and you see an early position raise and a 3-bet, if you're sitting over jacks, I think you just have a pretty easy muck. And one of the big reasons you don't want to play jacks here, say the board comes ace-queen-3. If J-Card Shark bets, you have to fold. So you lose. If the board comes 8-4-2 and J-Card Shark bets, and you call and say bets again on the turn, you're going to find that you're in pretty bad shape as well. So there really aren't very many boards you can continue on besides exactly Jack XX, which just isn't going to happen too often. So you're effectively set mining. And I honestly don't think Fujita is set mining here. So he elects to call, and I think of the options, this is probably the worst. I think you're much better off 3-betting or folding, and I think folding's a clear winner. It gets around to Alabadi. Let's actually show what he has. He has ace-8 offsuit and elects to go all in. And, you know, honestly, I think this is just atrocious because J-Card Shark's not folding. We already know that. Fujita probably is not folding because he cold called, so we know that. And if you really don't want to take ace-8 against a guy that's not going to fold. So I think this is a extraordinarily bad play. And this is a play that some players at low stakes will make, particularly if they're already a little bit on tilt from losing their stack. Notice we started with probably 3,000 chips here, and he's already down to 1,800. So probably not the best player, and I think it's a pretty bad play all in all. You know, some players look at this and think, oh, there's a raise and a call, now I can squeeze. But this is just not a squeeze spot, because J-Card Shark and Fujita both have very, very strong ranges. So don't run ace-8 into two very strong ranges. All right, you're here, Jax. J-Card Shark elects to call. You know, I think this is a pretty easy fold, but a lot of players will talk themselves into just going with this hand, and I think it's not a good play whatsoever. But, you know, that's how a lot of players play. They get their good cards and they go with them. And again, I think that at the lower stake games, if J-Card Shark flats here, I think this is going to be generally a sign of extraordinary strength trying to get his opponent to spaz out. At the higher stakes games, I don't really know what this would mean. Not very many high-stakes players are going to be flat calling here. I think it's sort of becomes a leveling war, but it doesn't really matter because if Jay Karshark pre-flop 3-bet, we know he has a monster. And if Jay Karshark has a monster, jacks again are just not in great shape. Fedrito elects to shove, and again, I think it's pretty bad, and Jay Karshark snaps him off and wins all the money. So that's going to be that. I do talk about these situations a little bit in my poker book, Secrets of Professional Tournament Poker. And, you know, it's really just common knowledge amongst good players that if there's a raise and a 3-bet from early position, you really have to have a monster. And clearly both of these players did not get the memo. And because of that, Jay Karshark ends up winning a ton of chips. So if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to let me know. This has been Jonathan Little for WeeklyPokerHand.com. Thanks for watching.